of 15 psalms that are called a song of degrees or psalms of ascent. Okay, that is Psalm 120 through 134. So if your Bible has titles, you'll notice that they're all titled a song of degrees. And the word degree means to ascend. It means it has to do with elevation. It has to do with a journey to a higher place. It can also mean a rising thought or a climactic progression. So we'll talk about that in a minute and why the Psalms would be called that. Okay? We do not know the author of this psalm, but many scholars feel it is David, and it was written when he went and ate the showbread and took Goliath's sword from Ahimelech, the priest, and Doeg was there and slandered him. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 21. We got a lot of scripture to look up with this tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 21, and look at verses 1 to 9. And this is what some commentators feel is the backdrop to David writing this psalm, okay? If David is the author. 1 Samuel 21. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hollow bread, and there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servant of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. So here we have the account of David on the run from Saul, and he meets Ahimelech, and Ahimelech is coming out of the tabernacle, and he had just changed the showbread. Now remember, once a week, fresh bread was put on the Sabbath, fresh bread for the week that followed. This was the bread that was just taken off, okay? And so now it was allowed to be eaten by the priest, okay? Jesus deals with this in the New Testament, but it was given to David, okay? Because now it was common. It was no longer sanctified. It was no longer there for the Lord. And also while he was there, he got a special sword, okay, Goliath's sword. Of course, we know that account. But something happens. It mentions at the end that Doeg is there. And look at chapter 22. Look at verse 9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priest that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thy house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for the servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood round about him, Turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also was with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said unto Doeg, Turn thou, and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. So this is a terrible, terrible account. Perpetrated by a terrible man, and also, you know, Saul, because of Saul's jealousy and Saul's anger and Saul's rage and Saul accepting God's will that David was going to be the king, and so he had all of these priests killed and people from the town. So a lot of people think this is the setting, one of the possibilities. We're going to see another possibility. I don't want to confuse you, but it's just sometimes good to know the backdrop of some of these psalms. Here was a man. Now you'll notice in our psalm, Psalm 120, there's obviously people who are speaking against the psalmist. And here was a man who definitely spoke against David. Okay, you find this word, the word degrees. Okay, we don't have to turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 15 and in 2 Chronicles 5, concerning David and then Solomon bringing up the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and the temple. Now, you will notice something when you read your Bible. If someone is coming from the north to Jerusalem, which is south, what does it say? They were going up to Jerusalem, okay? Now, that doesn't make geographic sense, but because Jerusalem is on a mountain, okay, and you go up, you ascend. So these Psalms of Degree speak about ascending to Jerusalem. Early rabbinic tradition connects these 15 songs, Psalm 120 through 134, to the 15 steps leading to the temple in Jerusalem, which the Levites sang as they ascended the steps. So when they got to step one, they sang this psalm. Step two, they sang the 121st psalm. And on, up the 15 steps. There were 15 steps that led from ground level to the temple. That's early rabbinic tradition. Also, these psalms are known as pilgrim psalms, sung as the people began their journeys to Jerusalem for the feasts. In Deuteronomy 16:16, we don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy 16:16 states that three times a year, every male must appear before me, on the feast. The feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. So they had to appear those three times. And these were songs, psalms, that the people sang as they journeyed there. Holidays, what do we do at Christmas time? We sing Christmas hymns, Christmas carols, you know. So these folks were going and singing on their way. Spurgeon calls them songs for the road. Okay? Songs for the road. And For a spiritual application, though, since we don't make pilgrimages, maybe some of you do if you go to Greenville, you know, to the Mecca of fundamentalism. I don't think it is, but anyway, some people do. It seems like a lot of Christians retire to Greenville, where there's 10,000 retired pastors. I don't agree with that, but anyway. I digress. Oh, I should be careful because the previous pastor here went there. And not, I don't mean that in any other way than I should just be quiet. So these are also songs for the ascending soul as one rises from the deepest despair to the highest delight and fellowship with God. We know absolutely for sure that David wrote four of them. 122, 124, 131, and 133, because it tells us in the title, a psalm of degrees of David. And we know that Solomon wrote 127. The other 10, we can't be sure. Some, as we said before, say David. Some folks believe that every psalm that is not listed, David is the author of. I don't know the answer to that, okay? But some attribute this to Hezekiah as celebrating his recovery. And they see the mention of my songs in Isaiah 38 as proof. Now, I'm not going to read all of that, but do turn to Isaiah 38 and look. Of course, we know Hezekiah was sick, and he prayed, and God helped him recover. And in chapter 38, verses 9 through 20 speak of this, but look at verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me, therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. So some people feel that the other 10 were written by Hezekiah. I don't know that for sure. How many of you have your Bible open to Isaiah 38? Look at verse 17. Just look at that awesome verse. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast, notice the phrase, in love to my soul. Isn't that awesome? Delivered me from the pit of corruption. Notice this phrase. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. I wrote amen twice in my Bible there. But anyway, little side note for us tonight. So what are we saying? We really don't know who the author of this psalm is. It could be David, could be Hezekiah, could be somebody else. We do know the ultimate author is God. You know, when we're talking, of course, about the human author who God used to record his inspired word. A couple things to help us understand. We've noticed this word a lot in the Psalms, the word distress. The word distress means tightness or in a tight place. You ever said, oh, I'm in a tight place, you know? And maybe if you're claustrophobic, you don't like that feeling. Well, that's this feeling of distress when the world is coming in all around you and caving in all around you. Okay? Verse 4, coals of juniper are mentioned. And I know nothing about trees and flowers and all that things, but in doing some research, juniper coals, it must have been a hard wood because they were known for long burning hot coals, okay? And sojourn means to turn aside. And Meshach, in verse 5, he was a son of Japheth. Japheth was one of Noah's sons. And in Genesis 10, verse 2, we see that. They are associated with Gog and Magog. In Ezekiel 38:2. Of course, they're associated with Gog and Magog because they are his brothers. And they were historically people who lived north of Israel. And there's debate between the commentators Is it Turkey, or is it farther north, what we would know today as modern-day Russia? Okay. Little side note, total side note today. Jesse, today was the day Jesse left for Kuwait. He should be there by now, but he flew from Virginia to Ireland, and then from Ireland to Bulgaria. So I thought, that's an interesting place to be, Bulgaria. And then from Bulgaria to Kuwait. Bulgaria is by Greece and Turkey. So it's this area, you know, Gog and Magog. So it's this area that we're talking about. And in verse 5, tents of Kedar. Kedar was a son of Ishmael. We know that from Genesis 25:13. These people were nomadic, desert, Bedouin people, again, who were sons of Ishmael. So what we're going to see in a moment, these folks were not godly people, okay? And David and the author here is saying how he didn't like dwelling amongst them. The outline, verses 1 and 2, a cry of distress. Verses 3 to 4, the question and answer. And then verses 5 to 7, peace or war. But as we begin to look at this, notice first, this first of the Psalms of ascent is a prayer. And the occasion of it is that the psalmist has been too long among strangers, among ungodly people. Can't we relate to that sometime? Isn't it good, you know, when we get to go to the house of the Lord and be with God's people because we've been in the world all week? Well, think about how much more in the days of Israel when they only went to the tabernacle three times a year. And think about the excitement and getting to be with the people of God. You know, oh, how exciting it is to be with the Lord's people. And think about it for us. How exciting will it be to be with the Lord? Pastor Andrew came in my office today. I don't remember what for. But I said something like, maybe today we won't have to worry about that. Today will be the rapture. And we both said amen. I don't even remember how we got on that subject. But we did. And you know, oh, to be with the Lord. How great that'll be. So notice the first stanza. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. So we see a cry of distress here. There is a cry of distress. And in his distress, the psalmist cries out to the Lord, and he answered him. We must understand that slander often brings on distress. The cry was that he would be delivered from lying lips and deceitful tongues. And those who have felt the edge of a cruel tongue know just how sharp that sword is. And there's no shield for a liar's tongue. What do you do, you know, when somebody lies about you? You know, I remember one time hearing Ron Comfort, the president of Ambassador, speak. And he said, don't worry about what your enemies say about you, because your enemies will never believe anything good about you, and your friends will never believe anything bad about you. So just, you know, don't worry about it. But words hurt, don't they? You know, and you remember that old, sticks and stones may break my bones, but name. That's not true. You know, that's not true at all. And some people it bothers, some it doesn't. But I'm not getting political here. I'm just making a statement. I can't imagine how our president puts up with all that is spoken against him, you know, every day, you know, by hundreds of people. Now, he's no saint. He needs to be saved, you know. And he says some things that brings on the trouble. But at the same time, you know, I think we get a picture of it here. Whoever the psalmist is, he cried unto the Lord. He was in distress because of lying lips. And we know what the Bible says in James chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, about the tongue, right? Little member. You know, we can train horses with bits in their mouth and big ships, you know, compared to the size of the ship. The rudder isn't very big, and it steers the ship wherever it wants to go. But that tongue, that little tongue, it sets the world on fire, and no one can control it. And the unsaved world definitely can't control their tongue. And they'll lie, you know. And especially now, if this is David and he is the king, if this is Hezekiah and he was the king, being in politics, we know how much people lie, right? You know, and they don't care. And people will lie. So in our distress, what do we do with that? Just cry to the Lord. Just cry to the Lord. Notice the second stanza, 3 and 4. What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. So we see that a question is asked and an answer is given. And what can be done with the lying tongue? What can you do with the lying tongue? And the psalmist answers, the reward will be sharp arrows and coals of fire. They will be rewarded similar to what they have been dishing out. You reap what you sow. Isn't that the principle of Galatians 6, 7, 8? Whatever you reap, that's what you're going to sow. If you reap to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. If you reap to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And that's a principle. And a lot of times, you know, the old illustration of the roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. He always tried to catch the roadrunner in a trap, but who got caught in the trap every time? The coyote did. Never brought home his roadrunner dinner. So, in the third and last stanza, verses 5 to 7, woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Peace or war? The psalmist states that he had been dwelling too long among strangers or those who do not love the Lord. Now remember the prophecy that God gave to Abraham when Ishmael was born. He said, he will be a wild man. And he'll dwell amongst his brothers, the Jewish people. And every man's hand will be against his, and his hand will be against every man's hand. Who did Ishmael's people grow up to be? The Arab people. Okay? And what is the main religion of the Arab people? Islam. And isn't that so true? That prophecy. Dwell amongst his brethren, who dwells all around Israel, Muslims, Arabs. And isn't it true that his hand is against every man and every man's hand is against his? And here David, the psalmist is saying, you know, I'm dwelling here in Meshech and Kedar. Remember Kedar, the tents of Kedar, they were direct descendants of Ishmael. This was Ishmael's son. And he's dwelling amongst them, those people who do not love the Lord. And for too long he has been dwelling with those who hate peace and actually love war. If you've read anything about, you know, Mohammed and all the wars back then, you'll know how brutal he was. This, of course, is part of the curse of fallen man. And God brings a peace that passes all understanding to the child of God. I am for peace. Philippians 4, 7. The peace of God which passes all understanding. How can people have peace in this world? It's a peace of God that passes what? All understanding. Can't explain it. God gives it, though. And if you trust God, he'll give you that peace. and you won't fear. That doesn't mean there won't be anything to fear, but it means you won't fear. You'll have peace. Okay? And but we have to live amongst the unbeliever. And they don't know what peace is. And many times they don't want it. Look at our world today. Okay? Look at our country today. Look at many of our cities today. And what is happening. They claim they want peace. But they don't know what peace is. You know, they don't know what it is. Because who is the Prince of Peace? The Lord Jesus. Who's the only one that can bring peace? The Lord Jesus. And we see this. This psalm, friends, couldn't be any more practical for today. So it's appropriate that the first of these pilgrim psalms start with this psalm. As the faithful Jewish people of old began their journey to Jerusalem, they were leaving behind the world and headed for Jerusalem. And what is Jerusalem? The city of peace. And who dwells in Jerusalem at that time? God.